Are you on dope?
Yes.
What kind?
Musical dope.
You get high?
Yes.
Off of what?
Music.
Are you on a trip or something?
Yes.
What kind of a trip?
Music.
How old are you?
I'm old in mind, but young in age.
This is Brianna Marie, and you're listening to Soul Discovery, a place run by passion and really dedicated to its music, artists, producers, and record labels, which makes it a unique place, but also a place where listeners come to really absorb themselves and can tap into their emotions and take themselves on a discovery of their own.
Soul Discovery on a Saturday afternoon, and that track was Sly Slick and Wicked, and one of the members of that group are live from the phone. Hello, John Wilson.
Hi, how are you?
We connected at last. It's took a while.
Absolutely, but it's all worth it. I want to thank you for supporting us all these years. It's about 4 o'clock in the morning here.
It's not, is it?
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do about your beauty sleep then, John?
I think I'm way past that.
How's things going anyway? I hear you're back in the studios.
Yeah, we're back in the studios recording a new album, and we're very excited about it. And we're about 10 tracks in now. Hopefully we'll finish it by the end of the year and have it out by the beginning of next year.
Okay, and is this all new material that you'll be putting on this album?
Yes, all new. Yes.
All right, okay. Should we go back then and talk about how you got into it, how you started?
Well, we formed a group. Basically, Charles and Terry and Mark and I were in different groups. Mark is the first Wicked, and Terry's been with us since 1972. And we all went to John F. Kennedy High School in Cleveland, and also with a band called the Bell Telefunk Band, which you now know as the Daz Band.
Yeah.
And we used to sing in the talent shows. And when we graduated from high school, I was walking down the street because Charles was in a group called the Jays and Terry was in a group called the Untouchables. And I was in a group called the Tamlas. And I said, Charles, you know what, man, we need to start a group. And he said, yeah. And we started singing together and got Mark and Eddie Perel, who was on Stax Records, that made The Spoiler. The Bell Telefunk was playing in New York, and they told Eddie about us, And Eddie flew to Cleveland, recorded us, and signed us to Paramount.
And
actually, the A&R guy was Dean Courtney.
Oh, right. Oh, God, that's interesting. Oh, right. That was around 1970, yes?
Yes, 1970.
And what was the first track that you come out on that label, Paramount?
Well, Stay My Love.
Stay My Love, yeah. And the B-side was Surely, yeah?
Absolutely, which Charles and Mark and I wrote.
Still sounding great, John.
Thanks a lot. A little bit of trivia for that. That's the Daz band behind us. As I said earlier, they were known as the Bell Telephone. And on Kungas is Carlos Martinez. If you have the album TCB,
yeah,
the Temptations and Supremes, you'll see him in the back in that black,
yeah,
well, with the black and red Kungas. That was him on Kungas.
Then you signed for a new label. Did you move on away from Paramount after that for a little while?
Yeah, well, what happened was... Paramount only had a couple of more R&B acts. They had us, the Pointer Sisters, and Bobby Womack, and they were beginning to close down their whole record division, you know, because they were mostly known for, you know, most motion pictures, too. And so James Brown had seen us, unbeknownst to us, a few times, and when we left Paramount, he says, hey, why don't you sign to our label? And that's what we did. We signed to his label, and... became part of what they call now the James Brown's First Family of Soul. It was us, Lynn Collins, the JBs. Who else was there? Maceo Parker. Yeah.
I was going to say Maceo Parker. He was part of that setup, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
Very influential person, very much so. And how did you get on with James Brown himself?
Oh, gee, he was wonderful. He was great. I mean, we used to do a lot of gigs. In fact, when we first came out here to Los Angeles to do Soul Trains the night before, we were in Washington, D.C., and then... that next night we went to New York, so
you earned your money.
Absolutely, but he was absolutely wonderful to work with, and he was really, really very nice to us.
Oh, yeah, I've tried so hard. world, but you only thought of him, show sure not now. 10,000 times I've tried, yes, I really tried, and all I can say is, you really loved him. Show sure enough, you really loved him. Show sure enough, you really loved him. Maybe that was his real, or maybe she had a Love Jones for the cat, I don't know. But you know Slick had the same problem, didn't you, Slick?
Dig it, it even happened to me, me of all people. Life is funny,
yeah.
Love is funny, it can play stupid games on you. Still I watch out for the tricky game, but nevertheless, I'm still a man. I know I am.
We wrote it in Louisville, Kentucky. And on the road, and I was having a little problems with a lady friend, and decided to write that song, and Charles and Terry kicked in the rest of the lyrics.
Fantastic. Are you still in touch with the lady?
No.
We won't go there.
I saw her maybe once since then.
Right. And then Shaker Records with OJ's.
Yes.
Did you actually sign up for that label?
Well, yeah, absolutely, because then what happened, James, Mr. Brown, started to, you know, downsize his label and basically went out, and we're all from the same neighborhood, the OJs and us and Bobby Womack, Edwards, and we're having such success on Philadelphia International that they started their own label, and we were the first group they signed, and they signed Bobby and Cindy.
Mm.
And, you know, Cynthia Woodard sang for many years background behind Tom Jones. And so we signed with their label, and we did Turn On Your Love Light.
What was it like being around that time then when, like, the groups, the OJs, certain other groups that you've mentioned, Bobby Womack, what was it like? Were you all in and out of each other's houses and turning material around to each other?
Well, I used to go and look through the basement windows and watch the Womack brothers rehearse when I was living in what was called off of Quincy in Cleveland. And then when we moved out toward the other side of Cleveland in the same neighborhood with OJ's, I used to go and watch them rehearse. In fact, the first time I ever saw them was I was 16 years old at Leo's Casino, and I saw the Temptations battle the OJs with Flip Wilson emceeing for $1.50.
Oh,
and I actually snuck in. I wasn't even supposed to be in there because I was too young.
Was David Ruffin fronting the Temptations at the time?
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh. Absolutely. I still remember they had the gray suits on, and the OJs had white and black suits on, and it was on. I mean, they really, really went at each other, and they were singing until they both were hoarse. Again, as they in and out of Walter Williams and Eddie LaVert's house, Will Powell, who was especially close to me, who had, you know, passed away, he kind of took me under his wing because he was the first tenor of the OJs, and I'm the first tenor of Sly, Slick, and Wicked. So.
Girl, I want to see your face. Your face can brighten up any place. For the love you give me, girl. Girl, I wanna see you. Girl, I wanna touch your hand. And maybe we'll find a promised land. Say you love me, you say. Door. Every time.
just love you. I just love you.
Fantastic Stay My Love from Paramount Records, 1972. John, thank I love you. That. I love that track.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Eddie Perel, who discovered us and also, as I said before, did the record The Spoiler on Stax. He wrote that.
Oh, fantastic vocals. Real harmonies in there. Tell us about the Motown label when you went with them.
Well, again, we used to play Detroit a lot. In fact, the first time we ever played Detroit was at the Casino Royal, and it was us and the Watts on the 3rd Street Rhythm Band. And then we were coming off a Shaker label because the OJs decided that they didn't really want to have a label and just stick with Philadelphia International. And we came back to play at the Casino Royal. It was us and Ohio Players. And there were some scouts there from Motown and a guy named Roy Norman. And Roy Norman, who produced a couple of, a few of the tracks, actually signed us to Jupiter Motown. Mm-hmm. And we ended up doing two albums there.
But at that time, you done a live concert, didn't you, with Count Basie, Isley Brothers, Harold Melvin, the Blue Notes. Was that around the same period when you appeared at the Cool Jazz Festival?
Yes. They used to have, again, what they called the Cool Jazz Festivals in the stadiums, and the first one we ever did was at the Kansas City Royal Stadium, and I mean, wow, 8,000 people, and I walked in, and in the dressing rooms, in the dugouts there, there was Count Basie, Bobby Humphrey, Cannonball Adderley. I remember that gig especially because that's the last one he did. He passed away that following Tuesday, but B.B. King was on the show, the Ohio Players, the Isaac Brothers, New Bird, Harold Melvin, the Blue Notes, and we had a ball.
Oh, but you did. Oh, sounds fantastic.
We left Motown around 1977, and Carl Maduri, who also produced Wild Cherry and La Flavor Mandalay, of course, Wild Cherry made play that funky music, White Boy. Mm. He always liked this, and he was from Cleveland, and he signed us to Epic. And that's when we did my cousin, who was Dunn Pearson, who was with Ninth Street Exit, wrote a song originally for a group called Four Flights that we liked, and the song was All I Want Is You.
Jumping a few years, you went solo. Yes?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Can you,
and
the reason
I laugh,
yeah.
I said, I really, love that you guys did this. I mean, well, let me get on with it. I was grieving over a girl named Carl Maduri. Saw me, I was really brokenhearted about this girl leaving, and he said, you know what, man, why don't you just record a song about her? And so I wrote this song called Ain't Enough Lovin', and it's about, again, a girl that I was so much...
You had a lot of broken hearts.
Yeah, man, they were doing it. The girls was doing it to me at that time. So, and I followed her all the way out here to Los Angeles, and actually the studio I cut the rhythm track in. Chaka Khan was cutting there, and she was there the night before, and so was Natalie Cole. So I cut the track, and I brought the track back to Cleveland and put the vocals on, and Carl released it.
And this is Sweet City Records, yeah?
Yes.
Are they still going now?
No.
That was the 80s,
no, not
yeah?
Yeah, right. No.
Okay. You're working at the moment in the studio. I believe you're working, is it correct, Eloise Laws?
Yes, did some work with her. Also, again, the OJs. I've done work with Barry White as a producer. Janet Jackson, The Impressions. I produced The Impressions as a producer. Mickey Howard.
Mm. Oh, fantastic. Yeah, great. Your album, when's that due?
Hopefully, toward the beginning of next year, We're going to try to get it out. I don't know what label we'll sign with or we'll put it out itself. We do have a label that is interested, a major label. Hopefully we'll get it on Warner Brothers.
Okay. Have you actually got a label yourself? Have you actually got one at the moment, or are you just going to create one?
I was going to try to create one if you know, we couldn't get the right deal, but I think maybe we'll do something with this Warner Electric and Atlantic.
Sounds fantastic. Will that be a solo project?
Yeah, probably more so will.
Yeah, okay. Well, John, we made connection, and I'm really, really pleased that you had time to talk to us. And when the album's up and running and you've toured the United States, you need to come over here.
Absolutely, we would love to come there.
We'll get you in the studio. And please don't get no more broken hearts till I talk to you the next time, because you'll need some more writing material.
Absolutely, I don't need to do 3 or 4 albums behind that one.
Would you like to say anything to the listeners?
Again, I want to thank everybody there in the UK for supporting us all these 36 years we've been together, and giving us so much love, and we're going to try to give you as much love as we can for the next 36 years, whatever God's willing to give us. And thank you.
Thank you very much, John Wilson. You're a gentleman, sir.
Thank you.
So if you listen to the lyrics on this track, it's a poor man with a broken heart again. Girls, why do you do it?
See, you are the one for me. It's like ecstasy when you're lying here next to me. You're in my dreams and fantasies, just like a star that lights up the night. Your love shining.
Thanks to John Wilson. I enjoyed that. I hope you did. Let's hope the guy gets an album out next year and see what we can do for him. Actually, the lyrics mean a lot more now, poor guy.